morning, you know, you want to say something? The first two and the last.
Good morning, everyone. Thankful to be together in the house of the Lord this morning, and thankful to have already enjoyed so much the Bible study and Bible class on love, and it's such a wonderful topic for us to begin our worship day with. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Psalm 143:8. Again, want to welcome Peter and Evelyn with us this morning. So happy you're here. And I don't want to miss anybody. Just so thankful we could all be together here, and welcoming those as well on Zoom. Do we have any greetings from anyone? Nothing this morning.
I spoke to Stella.
Uh-huh.
Sam is doing better.
Great.
He's going to probably come home maybe Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They're working things through there. And
wow, good. Thankful.
And I also spoke to Mike Smith, and he said he's doing worse, but he has a doctor's appointment up to the 3rd, so.
Okay.
Okay.
So. Mixed report here. Brother Sam's doing better. Brother Mike is doing worse. So continue. Keep both brothers in prayer.
I got an email from Hilda. She was in the rehab, and she's home now.
Oh, good.
She's not as bad as she was, but she's really, he can't do anything.
Wow.
At least he can sit in the chair and
not bed fast, but it can get up and be in the chair.
She went to church for the first
time. Oh, good.
6 years.
Oh, thankful for that. So good report regarding Sister Hilda. that she is out of rehab now and doing better. So please keep Hilda and Jim in prayer. Yeah, for sure.
Joe Kurt sends his greetings.
Oh, thank you, Mom. Uncle Joe sends greetings to everyone. All right. October calendar is out. Please grab one on your way through. Also, the availability sheets, are they out on the table here? Somewhere over there. Okay, take a look for those on your way through there as well. Bible study will resume this Wednesday, and Brother Mike will be resuming his topic on Philippians, and all welcome in person here at church or via Zoom at 8 o'clock. Christmas boxes, the Operation Christmas Child. I understand we only need 3 more empty boxes for us to fill. Any other announcements on?
If we get more larger ones, it would be good. Some of the ones we have are quite small.
Quite small, okay.
If anybody had larger boxes,
okay,
it would be helpful.
Err on the side of size 12 shoe boxes. Okay. Also, Johanna very kindly printed bookmarks for us and a wonderful quote here. I'll read it. The most important hour is always the present. The most significant person is always the one standing directly in front of you. The most necessary work is always love. Ties in beautifully with this morning. Let's see, anything else here? I'm going to skip the upcoming events like Syracuse outing and so forth. You can see that in the email that will be sent out tomorrow. Keeping our quarterly mission focus, Hope Ministries in Brazil in prayer. It's my understanding that Brother Werner, Evelyn, your brother, is going down to Hope Ministries and team. And Edmund's going as well. I had not heard the names of all going, but please keep them in prayer as they travel to Hope Ministries there. Please keeping in prayer Brother Peter and Sister Rachel Toth, their daughter Hannah. They've decided to move to Ohio, so they've actually purchased a home. They're yet to settle on that home, but it sounds like they're going to be there. They wish to remain members here for the time being, but they're taking up residence in Ohio, which is going to be much better for Hannah. So please keep them in prayer. Today, following lunch, we'll have a prayer, song service. Did I miss anything, brothers, sisters, one and all? Anything else? All right. Please keep Brother Frank in prayer for the service this morning. And let's sing out of Zion's Harp 207, O Brethren in the Savior. And I'd like us to sing verses 1, 8, and 10. 207, verses 1, 8, and 10.
Let's begin with the prayer. Our Father and our God, we are thankful to be in your house of worship today. We thank you for the words that we have heard already about the love that you have for us and that we should have one for another. And Lord, we just thank you for the mighty God that you are and that your care and love for us. And we would ask that you would teach us more of that love and make us show that love unto other people. And Lord, we just want to ask that as your word would go forth, it would go forth in the power and might of your Spirit, and we would see how glorious a God that we have. And we just want to praise you and thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read from Psalm 139 this morning, and I'll read the whole psalm. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou shalt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I've read 1 through 24. And this is a psalm that the writer of this psalm tells us that God knows every aspect of even the writer of the psalm, that and he knows those about us also. And he goes into some things there. God knows when he is sitting or standing. God knows the thoughts, even though they are not expressed out loud. That and we that's something that that we can't even imagine, but it's something that God can do. Even if we don't express something in words, God already knows the things that we are thinking. And even if we don't say those things, He knows what is in our heart. And God protects us from behind and before. So it's like God is on every side of us or all around us, and He's there to be a protector. The psalmist recognized that God formed him while he was yet in the mother's womb. So even though he wasn't even born yet, God was already looking out for him and looking at him. That's something that's so amazing we can't even grasp that. And the verse that really struck me about this was verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wondrously made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth, and that my soul knoweth right well. And this is just showing how wonderful a creation that God has made when he made man, when he made human beings, that gave them such abilities that even though we can't do everything, there are many things that we can do, and it's just amazing how many things we can see that mankind has accomplished, or even in athletics and things that people are doing. That some of things are so amazing that I can't even fathom trying to do those kind of things, but that's the way God has done it. And you know, there's a theory of evolution that says that these things are just from, because when mankind can reproduce and have children, and then their children sometimes take the characteristics of the father and mother and other things. But this theory is saying that even though there is that ability to reproduce, there are subtle changes that happen there, and maybe some even by accident that before mankind was like this and able to do those things, that there were things that weren't exactly reproduced from one generation to another, and some things were negative and some things were positive. And the theory is saying that because of those positive things that would happen, that generation would develop more, and it would be, they would have children, and in that there's a whole line of that positive things are being just kind of made throughout that thing, and that's not really something that I can imagine that really would happen, but for those changes that more would survive with those positive changes than would with the negative changes, so it just builds up and up. But I think from what we're seeing here, that we can see that God says, or the psalmist is saying, that he praises God for the way that he has that God has made him, and he looks that as a wonderful thing, and he sees it marvelous that God has made him, and he has made him in that way. And this past week I was looking through some things, and there was this article about a PhD doctor, Dr. Werner Gritt, director of the professor of German Institute of Physics and Technology in Germany. And he is the head of the Department of Information Technology. He holds a diploma in engineering from the Technical University of Hanover and a doctorate of engineering that he graduated summa cum laude in the Technical University of Aachen. And so he's one that is schooled in many things, and he is one that understands more about the human body than I would know. But he said in this piece, "Without a doubt, the most complex information processing system in existence is the human body. If we take all human information processes together, that is the conscious ones like language and voluntary movements and things that we do thinking about it and doing those things, and unconscious ones like there are organs that are functioning in our body that we don't even think about. They're going through many processes to keep our body running like that. And those functions of the organs are just happening without us even thinking about it. That's what God has created. But because he's in this university, when he goes through technology, he goes through and sees like how many processes there would really be in a certain thing. And he came up with a number of the processes that would happen every day within a human body. And he came up with a number of one with 24 zeros after it. That's a number that we can't even imagine. That's really an astronomical thing. And he is a Christian now. I don't know if he was a Christian before he started his studies there, but he is now. And he says that the greatest of all creations is man himself, a marvelous machine, precise and efficient. The human body has dynamic framework of bones, cartilage, called the skeleton. And the human skeleton is flexible. It has joints with hinges and things, and they're made to move. And really, to cut down on friction in a machine, it would have to be oiled, and it would have to be taken care of, and it would have to be maintained. And that's also part of his technology process of knowing when to maintain things and how they would have to be maintained. But the machines would have to be lubricated externally by someone else. With the body, it generates this jelly-like substance that goes into the joints, and it just happens to go into the joints where it's needed. That's quite a coincidence there, I guess. And it goes into all of the joints that where it is needed. And he found that as an amazing thing, as I do also. And sometimes we don't realize how complex the processes are that our body is able to do. And we just sang some hymns, and I tried to learn how to play the piano once, or it was really on a keyboard, but I wanted to see how far I could get there, and I didn't get very far. And I think there was one song that I did the soprano part for, and it didn't turn out great, but I could play that part. And so I just wanted to see what a piano player, what are processes that they would have to go to read the music. And so in the music, we have those two bars that stay up with five lines in each block, and they start The top staff is called the, it's like a cursive S at the beginning of that, and we call it the treble clef. And the one on the bottom has like a backward C, and we call it the bass clef. And these lines and spaces are for the top one is for soprano and alto, and the bottom one. And I'm going to make a lot of mistakes here because I'm not an expert at music, and I'm definitely not an expert at piano. But if I make mistakes, please forgive me for that. We can see that those notes are on the piano. And the piano player has to remember which notes he... And also before, sometimes like in that cleft, it has at the beginning which notes are sharp and which notes are flat. And when the note is on that line or that space, it's played like half a thing higher or half a thing lower. So if you're looking at that, you might have to remember those notes if it doesn't have that next to each note. And so that's something that the piano player would have to remember and keep in mind where those notes are and how to play them. And in order to play, they would use the right hand to play the higher notes and the left hand to play the lower notes. And they would have to look. The field of view there is about 3 feet by 3 feet when you're looking at it from there. But they're looking specifically at one note, one set of notes there, which is maybe an inch or by an inch and a half. And so they're ignoring most of the view, but able to concentrate on one set of notes to do that. And that's really, they're ignoring like one 250th, 2,500th of the view that they have just to look at that one note, one set of notes. And then they have to see how those notes are transmitted, or what fingers they should use for that set of notes. To me, that was even difficult just trying to do the soprano notes. But it takes some ability to do that. And then they have to do that really quickly because they're trying to keep up with this song as it's going. And so in a fraction of a second, they have to memorize 4 notes of what they want to play, and their fingers would have to get that combination and hit the keys and do that in a fraction of a second. And so that's something that that is really, it's showing how God has created humans that they could even do such things, that they could even make music. And David, who was a psalmist, and maybe he wrote this psalm, he would also play music. I think he played on a harp there, and he would know how to play those notes and how it would come out. And it would go, he would make beautiful music for that, and he wrote many psalms, David did. And but that's really just a fraction of the processes that are going on in the human body. It's still doing all those functions. It's still having the heart beat so that blood would get through all over. It's still doing it has muscle movements, and there's a lot of things going on there. So when he looked at this human body of what it can do, there were so many functions that that he can see what a marvelous thing this really is. And when we sing a hymn or we play a hymn, we know that hymn was created by a composer. That hymn was written by someone else, has composed that music. And we don't think that this would be something that could be part of millions of years of evolution. All of a sudden we could do one thing, and all of a sudden we could do another thing, and the next generation could do another thing. But even there are millions of years that wouldn't give abilities like that a piano player would need. And there are some who are good at that, and I'm not, but that even a human body could play that hymn, or even that we could sing that hymn according to we have different people singing from soprano or alto or bass or whatever, that and that comes together as a hymn that is something that is wonderful and is marvelous. And I think that's why the psalmist said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." So I think the psalmist was seeing in that even the body that he had and the thing that he could do, we can see that God makes things and does it in a marvelous way. And even in this technology thing that I was talking about, the person, because they found out that the blood in the vessels doesn't really travel smoothly and straight. It actually has a little curvature to it and goes to it. And they found out that when... Because they were doing operations of where they would take a vein from the leg or something. If there was a blocked vein that was going to the heart, they could take a vein from the leg and put it in there. And they found out that when they just put it in straight, that there was more of a chance of that it would get blocked again than if they gave it a slight twist. That's the way that the blood would go. And if they did that, there was less of a chance of that developing a clot again. And so we even say something like that was something that God had created in the human body in a way that the body would function as a unit. And we can see how wonderful things a body can do. And even we see athletes that can do things that they can do, running and jumping or all kinds of things that I could never do. But God has given that kind of a body to us. And to say that was done through millions of years of evolution and slight changes, it doesn't seem possible, and it's not possible because God has done that. God has created that. He has created that in a way that would be useful for us to look at and to see what God has done, and to say that's a marvelous thing, and to praise him for that, and that's a wonderful thing. And the piano player knew that what they were playing was created by someone else or a composer, but here they're looking at, no, this wasn't really created by anyone. They're thinking that it just these little changes working to up and would create such a body like this, but that doesn't seem, or that is not reasonable, especially to those that this man was talking about, because he said that in all of the libraries in the world, they would have less information than would be in what they calculated were all the processes in the human bodies. And it would be by a million times less. And so we're seeing that even processes that we don't know about and that are going on and that God has put, he has done that and he has created that. And so we can see what a wonderful creator we have. And then, but there are some that don't recognize that at all. They think that God, if I think that God doesn't exist, I don't have to follow him. I don't have to, because I'm just a product of millions of years of change. But to know that we have a God, and we have a God that cares for us, and we have a loving God that, like we read today, we have a God that expresses love to us and loves us, and he even loves those who have rejected him, that knowing that he would want those to be saved, and really that's something we should be a part of, that to show that what God has created is much superior to anything that has been created by man, and anything that would have been created by evolution. But even greater than the physical body is that God has also put a spirit within us, a spirit that would live forever, and a spirit that would also want to do the will of God, want to do what God wants us to do. But perhaps we were once in that same category where we didn't believe that there was a God, or didn't think there was a God, or think that there have been theories of how things could have happened without God, even though there aren't. But even if we do that, God is ready to come and to love us and to forgive us. And he does that because we can see that, especially since God sent his Son to be the one who would pay the price for my sin. So that even if I have sinned, even if I was not believing that God existed, God is ready to forgive us. And he sent his Son, that Jesus Christ would pay the punishment for my sin, for that sin of unbelief, that Jesus Christ has come and paid the price for that. And I think that's if I have a marvelous body, physical body, that's even more marvelous that Jesus would come, and that even while I was yet a sinner, that he would come and that he would pay the price for my sin so that I could be saved, and that I could be recognized that God is such a marvelous, miraculous God, that he is one who can do even far more than we could ask or think, that we can't even imagine of the power that God has and the love that God has. And Jesus came so that we wouldn't have to, that we could be forgiven of those sins that we have done, that we could come to him and we could know that eternal life is available, and a life that is with him in heaven. And I think that's even more marvelous than the physical would be, that knowing that God had such love that he sent his only son, that through believing in his son we could come to know him in a way that is more marvelous than any physical aspect of it. And so I think that's a message that we have to give to other people. And that's there are missionaries that go out to do that into the foreign countries, and they are teaching other people about that. But also the part of spreading the gospel is it's spreading to people that we do know, people that we deal with, and to show them what kind of a God that we have. Who is this all-powerful and awesome God that we have, and show that what he is working within our lives, and being able to show to them that God does really exist. And even maybe we have to start from a thing like that we have such a human body that God has created, which gives us ability to do many things. He's also given us a spirit that would want to understand God and would want to be with God. And it's different for different people. And we just want to look at that as maybe the even though we're not missionaries in foreign countries, maybe we can be missionaries in just the people that we know and that we deal with, to show them how important it is to recognize God, to recognize how miraculous he is in creating the physical body, and he's even more miraculous in having a way of salvation through his son Jesus Christ paying the penalty on the cross, who died for that but then rose again and is now at the right hand of God the Father and interceding for us. And I think if we look at the magnitude of that and really are in awe of that, we can see that how wonderful a God he is, much more than the physical, but for his love for us that we've studied in Bible class this morning. So I think the message is that we should pray of who it is that we could speak to, and how we could make it known unto them that there is a marvelous God who gave us a marvelous physical body, but wants to even have everyone to be in eternity with him and to believing in him. May the Lord bless his word.
Number 5, all the verses.
in Brother Harry's prayer this morning before Bible class, he prayed He prayed something to the effect that we should praise God for who He is. And from that prayer on, throughout Bible class and service, we have certainly been focusing on who God is, a God of love, and a God of majesty and wonder that came out in this morning's service. We know well the O words or omni words. God is omnipresent, omniscient. He is omnipotent, right? Well, that's what we see coming out in this chapter, this beautiful psalm that we read together. An omniscient God who has searched and known us and has known our sitting down and our uprising and our He understands our thoughts even. That's the kind of all-knowing God that we serve. A God that is everywhere, all the time, ever-present. A God in verse 7 that the psalmist asks, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence, O God?" That's the kind of God who is everywhere. From the deepest depths of the sea to the greatest grandeur in the heavens of heavens to the very molecules in our bodies, and everywhere in between is God, our precious God. And then the omnipotent God, where in verse 14, where the psalmist said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." I really enjoyed Brother Frank's engineering perspective on playing the piano. I just found that really fascinating. I did. Enjoyed it so much. And God is like that. He not only sees that little perspective of what it takes to play a piano or any musical instrument, but He sees everything all the time and is in control of the stars and the suns and the moons and the universes, you know. And again, He is a God who is present with us everywhere and all the time, and is with us today. Now, it's up to us, as we heard this morning in Bible class, to translate that into action, right? So we carry this, as Brother Frank said, this knowledge of a great God that we serve. We carry that, again, outside those doors. And we do that, first and foremost, by carrying His love outside those doors. And that's how He has created us. He's given us His heavenly love, His perfect love, so that we can love Him with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength, but also then to love one another. And that's a wonderful message to be reminded about. And thank you, Brothers Harry and Frank, for bringing that to us and for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that brought that message to us today. Could we arise and pray, please? Our marvelous, miraculous, magnificent, majestic, loving Father in heaven. Oh, how we can even utter the name Father and know that You want us to, that You take great pleasure in us calling You Father in heaven. Well, hallowed be Thy name. May we always, always hallow Thy name. And may we always, Lord, look unto Thee, as we've heard this morning, in Your love and Your majesty, and be reminded every single day of the privilege that we have to call Thee Father. And it's all because of what Jesus did upon that cross. It's all because of Your love that sent Him to earth. Lord Jesus, Your love, infinite love and obedience to the Father that separated You from the splendor of heaven to come to this world and then ultimately to die for each one of us. The only way that we can be reconciled unto You is by believing in the way, the truth, in the life. And we know, Lord, as you said, Lord Jesus, that no man cometh unto the Father but by thee. So you have given us that, that you've called us and given us that knowledge of your word and who you are again today, that we can follow thee, that we can worship thee, praise thee, and devote our entire lives unto thee. Lord, bless this congregation, bless our churches throughout the land, bless thy children everywhere where they worship, and bless particularly the persecuted church throughout this world who cries out for mercy and cries out for even justice. And we know, Lord, in your word, you have said that you will bring that justice and it will come soon. So we just pray that we all could find hope and peace and comfort in knowing who you are. Lord, thank you again for this day. And thank you, Lord, for the fellowship time that we have before us and the food that's been prepared. And just ask that you would bless this food and bless our bodies unto thy service. And we praise thee and thank thee for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.